We are using this sheet that we've been using forever, and we're on number 25. I mean, you know, it takes us forever to get through it. We're on the number 25, which says the Holy Spirit is the agent by which we are baptized into the body of Christ, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12.
But you're not
going to
start at
12.
Well,
I am going to start
at 12. Look where I was at last. First Corinthians 9.
You are going to start at 12?
Yes. That's unusual.
Yes, it is.
You know what that
often
is?
Often says
huh?
One body.
That's where I was at last yesterday. I went to Vineyard Sunbury for soaking prayer. And this is one of the scriptures that he had me look. So I highlighted it. In 1 Corinthians.
Yep.
Two, nine. Oh, you said 1 Corinthians
12.
Oh.
You guys won't beat me there. I am going to start at 12 because you already all know the part about the spiritual gifts and him talking about spiritual gifts, right? And the point that this is making right here in 12 and 13 is, yes, pretty specific. It says, I'm going to read 12 and 13. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about how the Holy Spirit interacts with us and how the Holy Spirit does so many different things. And this is just talking about being baptized. And this is a spiritual baptism, right? This is the regeneration. It talks about the regeneration, and it's by the Holy Spirit because we're united with Christ as part of His whole body. But there's a lot of things, a lot of people that talk about being baptized, and it says we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, and we're given one Spirit to drink. My question that I have is, I think we all believe that once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, right, that we receive the Holy Spirit. Yes? Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think about, do you receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit something different than receiving the Holy Spirit at accepting Christ? I just want to hear some opinion. Is the baptism, being baptized by the Holy Spirit, is that the same thing as receiving the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus?
Huh?
Just say that again. A little bit.
No?
A little bit different.
Is...
A little slower.
A little bit softer now.
Well, because there's a lot of discussion about this, and there's a lot of people that think different things. Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit...
When you get baptized.
Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same thing as receiving the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus?
No.
You say no.
No, wait. I say yes, it is. I say yes. No, I say yes. It is.
Well, what does anybody else think on that?
I say yes.
I say yes, too.
I say yes.
The Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit.
Right, that's right.
No matter how you receive it.
Preparing yourself.
Yes.
Hey, let me do this, man. Let me take this class.
Well, I'm asking that question because
I think you grow in the Lord after you receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Then it stops. Why wouldn't he give you the Holy Spirit?
Exactly. Yeah.
I think you receive the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think there are times, and I think sometimes people confuse, all of a sudden you will have the Holy Spirit come upon you.
Yeah.
And they take that as being baptized by the Holy Spirit. But you have the Holy Spirit before.
Yes. I agree. I just wanted to see what everybody thought, because I've heard people say that there's a separate baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, no.
In my footnotes, when a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence.
Yes.
And he or she is born into God's family.
Wait, say that again. When a person what?
Takes up residence.
When
residence.
A person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence, and he or she is born in God, into God's family. That's just a part of it that I
right.
underlined, oh yeah.
So, when I say Jesus is Lord and I pray a prayer and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, do I receive the Holy Spirit right then and there?
Yes.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he changed my life.
When you do the sinner's prayer, so to speak, a person that wasn't a believer, if you did the sinner's prayer for them, that's when they should actually receive the Holy Spirit.
Can I just say the words and not mean them, though?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, you have to mean it
you
in your heart.
You can't say Jesus is Lord or Jesus Christ without having the Holy Spirit.
What? I didn't get it.
Well,
you have to mean
Jesus
it from your heart.
Lord without having the Holy Spirit.
It has to come from your heart. You have to really be sincere.
I know, I'm asking you some crazy questions. Dorothy's giving me this look like... Well, I think it promotes discussion, you know? I know people that have, in the past, they've been, you know, play church, and
yeah.
It's crazy that you're talking about Rex, because I'm not really alluding to him, but... I know people that kind of play church and they come, they might even come to church, or they might talk about church or talk about Christianity, or they might say, well, yes, I'm a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that they're a Christian. They're just not Jewish or mm-hmm. Buddhist or something else. And so they say, well, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. But do those people have the Holy Spirit living in them?
No.
You're right, Ron. It's okay because
I agree.
I know
yeah,
you sense that,
again,
and I know that about him. So,
well, I don't know that that's him.
Well,
I don't know that that's him. I'm saying there are people, and I wasn't alluding to him because
well,
I know that that's
I understand
him,
that, but that's the cycle I'm trying to break with him because you can't just fake it till you make it with this stuff. This is a hard thing to do. This is a hard job to do to become a Christian. There's a lot more to it than I thought there ever would be.
Oh, yeah.
There's a difference between coming to church. And I've known people that have walked up. I personally know one person that walked up and accepted Christ and afterwards said the only reason I did it was because I didn't want to be bugged.
Right.
So there are people like that.
So did that person receive the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely not.
Right. God knows our heart.
Amen.
And I think that's the difference. Now, we don't get the right to decide who did and who didn't.
Absolutely.
We don't have the right to look at one person and say, you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Oh, you do. That's not us. We don't get that right. We don't get that. Jesus can do that, right? But we can't do that. But I think that I hear people talk sometimes. And you got to understand the kids that I work with at school are people that I talk to a lot because I spend the majority of my time at school. But I hear so many different versions of what these kids think that Christianity is. And it's scary that all of that stuff is out there being twisted and distorted and taught so differently than what the Word actually says. Because there are people who say they're Christian that have never picked up a Bible and looked at what God's Word says.
You know what? We used to see that at Heartbeats all the time. I was just recently telling John about this. Because they had a form that they filled out when they came, and you were asked what you were, and you could answer Muslim, Christian, Jewish, atheist.
Yeah.
And if they didn't think that a lot of them didn't know what atheist meant.
Right.
And they knew that they weren't Jewish or Muslim, so they checked Christian. But after, as you work with them and counsel them, really, in the first meeting, you find out, okay, you say you're Christian, you go to church. I went once with my grandma, you know.
Right.
Do you know what that means? Or, I don't know what that means, I just know I'm not Jewish, and I know I'm not Muslim. It was the alternative that they checked. And we had a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
A surprisingly number of people.
Yeah, I encounter a surprisingly number of people like that myself, and that's why I, you know, when I started looking at this and reading this, those kinds of things came into my head, and I was like, well, I'm going to throw that down there as a question and just see what everybody else says. sorry that I do that to you sometimes. But, you know, that's the thing, is I think that when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, there's, like you said, there's times when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and just takes over, right? Just literally takes over. And that's amazing and wonderful. But I've had even arguments and discussion where persons have said, well, no, you have to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you have to have someone lay hands on you and give you the Holy Spirit and you receive the Holy Spirit. And I said, I think the Holy Spirit is, for the lack of a better word, transferable. I mean, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, I think we can lay hands on someone and God, not us, but God can kind of transfer that,
well,
right? Right? So that's, yeah, when I say transferable, that's kind of what I mean. But I don't think that's necessary to have the Holy Spirit. And that's the whole, kind of the whole discussion or the whole point there. There's even scripture that talks about the disciples traveling around and laying hands on people and them receiving the Holy Spirit. And that's the scripture that a lot of times is used for that argument that says you have to have that encounter or that situation. So I just wanted to see what everybody in here kind of believed and thought. I agree with what you are saying, that you receive the Holy Spirit when you become a Christian. And your Bible wording says, when you become a Christian. So, saying that you're a Christian or praying the sinner's prayer, I don't think you're necessarily a Christian yet. I think you're becoming. I think you're wanting something. And I remember for myself, there was a point that I was going to church because the lady that invited me, I had a tremendous amount of respect for, right? It was a counselor that I had met many, many, many years ago, and I went out of respect for her. But somewhere down the line, while I was there, Christ came in, and Jesus grabbed a hold of me. And it wasn't when I said the prayer. The prayer was more of my commitment, saying, I get this. I want more of this. I want this to be my life. I want you to be my Lord. It's not words. It's that filling up inside. And you know that there's something more and there's something better. And you know that Jesus is the answer. And you just want more and more and more of Him. And I think that is when you receive the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit starts that work and just continues to complete it over the course.
Probably all of us can think of something that happened that drew you to the Lord. Might not be anything big, but for me, when my grandfather died, he was the only Christian I knew of. Only, and people called him a fanatic.
Dorothy, I can't remember because he had.
Maybe some people were good all their life.
I wasn't good.
I'm good all my life.
I wasn't good. It wasn't that I was good. It was just that I was raised, and I just always knew.
Yeah.
That's the big Sarah Jane.
Something happened when you gave your life.
They just always knew. They just always had the Lord.
Something happened for you to give their
life. And that's the way Colleen was, too.
Yeah.
Right? Raised up in the Lord your whole life, knowing. So there wasn't a contrast.
No.
There was an encounter that happened.
Okay.
As at church on Sunday doing the liturgy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I grew up in the Lutheran church. And we were singing the liturgy. And I looked down, and all of a sudden, I heard this voice say, "You're singing about me." And they had a footnote. They had a footnote. And I had the passage of what that song was about. So I jotted it down and went home and I looked it up. And from that time on, I started researching. but I believe.
That's the stuff I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think there is a point. And with some people, maybe it is when you pray that sinner's prayer. Maybe that's it and it happens, but I don't think that's a guarantee over time, you know, immediately that that's when the Holy Spirit comes. Because look at the disciples. They followed Jesus for a long time before the Holy Spirit came, you know. And I think we can follow and go through the motions, but at some point in time...
Well, they couldn't get the Holy Spirit,
that's when the Holy Spirit grabs us.
Do you think,
yes,
get the Holy Spirit, but at times we're filled more with the Holy Spirit?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I think you have revelations from the Holy Spirit.
Now,
you
said something. You said they couldn't get the Holy Spirit until
he
left, but I disagree with that because at one point in time during his ministry, he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit, and he gave them the Spirit.
You're right.
So, I think people can receive it differently. Some people can get it automatically right now. Others may have to wait a period of time.
I have a question.
I know I had it when I went when I came out of that water on that stage.
On the bat for the, your baptism?
Yeah. I had the Holy Spirit in me prior to that, but when I came out of that water.
Yeah.
It's like a bam all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It happens over and over and over in your life if you're lucky.
Right at when Brandon pulled me up, when I stood up, I was so refreshed. I felt like from my head to my toes, I was completely numb, completely. And then I was shivering and shaking with goosebumps from there on out. And I mean, it was just that predominant. But I had the Holy Spirit prior to going into the water. But I had it even more so when I got baptized, like the angels were rejoicing in heaven because I got baptized.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I have a question. I read this someplace, and I don't know.
Right?
But I read, you are filled with the Holy Spirit for you, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I've had that happen. You're right.
Although it certainly does affect you, too.
Yeah, it does.
Because your faith goes from here to, like, off the charts, right? I mean, when you encounter the Holy Spirit to that degree, you know, if you ever been used to do some amazing thing through the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, your faith just goes through the roof. It's wonderful.
I know for myself, two things stick out really big in my mind with the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't for me, it was for the other people. One was when I did Via de Cristo and I gave the Christian Community in Action Rodeo, and I had lots and lots of struggle trying to jot things down and do that, and the Holy Spirit just took me right through it, and it just went by so fast that I'm like, dang, I couldn't do that on my own. And so when I gave the talk, you know, all these ladies, you know, and I look out, this is the only things I remember about when I gave the rodeo, was I looked out and I saw people crying. I saw Vera Shelley, who I love dearly, and she was the sweetest, oldest lady, and she was this magnificent Christian that I just wanted to learn more and more and more from. And she was crying. And, you know, in my mind, I thought for a second, I wonder what's wrong. And then I just kept doing my talk, and they said that I got a standing ovation. But that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit working through me to get to them.
Yeah.
And then when we went to the mission in Brazil, this lady, when I gave my testimony there, I mean, for some reason, our eyes just kept meeting. And I don't know why, because there was like 45 or 50 people in this church. And I just kept making eye contact with her. And then when we were done and we went up to the altar to pray, Clyde asked me, he says, why don't you walk over there and pray with her? And I said, yes, I'm going to do that, because I was headed that direction. And went over there. She could not speak a lick of English. I knew only a several words in Portuguese, and I was praying in English, she was praying in Portuguese. We were both shaking and crying, and we were praying, and we both went down to our knees, and we were just hugging on each other, and our spirits were connecting. Like, oh, I've just never felt anything that powerful in my life. And she knew exactly, and I knew exactly, and it was all the Spirit, all God, you know? And it was just so, so amazing. It was just awesome.
Those are tremendous encounters.
Yeah. And come to find out, she was going through what I had experienced that I shared in my testimony. So.
I remember we went on one of our church's retreats, and I remember a bunch of us were up praying, and all of a sudden I went back to pray with Robert Barnum, but it wasn't my words. And after, that's the first time anything like that happened, and after I walked back, I looked at Pastor. What just happened? And my whole body was shaking because I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said to Robert. None of it was from me. And I don't know. I mean, now stepping out like that, I've never done anything.
Yeah.
It just shocked the feeling. But yeah, when he comes upon you, it's for
it does.
Yep.
It sure is.
Thank you. I love when people share.
We need another retreat, don't we?
Yeah. That was, I love that. That's, and even the same place, I don't care.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful out there.
It was.
And we even got to see the pretty snow. It was just really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to John 3. Take a look at John 3. And I think most of you know this story very, very well as well. This is about Nicodemus, right?
Wow.
This is about Nicodemus. I'm going to read just 1 through 6. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born?' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit.'" Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. I mean, why didn't Nicodemus understand what was going on here? He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He followed Moses, knew Moses' law. He was a member of the ruling council. You know, he knew all of this stuff. Why didn't he understand?
Because they knew the law. They didn't know Christ.
Exactly.
Yes. And that's where the relationship is, right? That's the relationship. The concept of the Holy Spirit being born of the Spirit, the concept of having the Holy Spirit living inside of us was... Nicodemus didn't understand that. He couldn't get that. He didn't understand that. That wasn't something that they saw, something that was happening, something that they'd even experienced, right?
It was all works.
Yeah, it was all works. You know, making us all part of God's kingdom, you know, that's not what the Jews believed either. The Jews were, you know, the Jewish people were, I wrote down, the Jewish people were enslaved, they were rescued, they were blessed, they were chosen, they were conquered, they were exiled, and they held on to the faith that God would send a Messiah to conquer their enemies once and for all. and set up an unconquerable kingdom through them. That's what they were all about. Now, were they all about that from the very beginning with Moses and all that? Not necessarily, but that's what they, how they interpreted all of the Old Testament and the scriptures, and that's what they were about. They were waiting, looking for that Messiah to come to set up an unconquerable kingdom so that they would be protected forever. And they didn't understand that the enemy was not flesh and blood. The enemy is the flesh, sin.
Do you think it's hard for us to understand? Because we're living in America. These other people are living where they're persecuted many times because they're Christian. Yeah. Wouldn't whine about little things, but I don't think we even understand how much they're persecuted because they're Christian.
How much people around the world are persecuted, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're overseas and they're Christian. They're immigrants presently, but I don't think so. In Georgia, I was down there in December, January, and they invited us over to their house, one of the families did, and they talked about the persecution and they had to flee because they were going to be killed.
Yeah.
And that was just the last 2 years or 3 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to say. We're not persecuted now.
Right.
Not to the degree that many people around the world are, no.
Not at all.
I don't know.
I mean, we're persecuted to a certain extent. I was shunned by a lot of my old friends. They didn't want to hear about it.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
There's this lady, Asia Bibi. I think she might be from like Pakistan or Iran. She's from one of those two places. And she's married and she has like 3 or 4 kids. And back in 2000 and somewhere between 2006 or 2008, she was arrested for preaching the word of Jesus. And she was put in prison. And when they put you in prison for that, they don't really give you a hearing or a court date or anything. They just get together and try to come up with a date that they're going to kill you and execute her. And there's all these people praying, and Voices of the Martyr is where I heard about this lady. And I have been praying for her for years and years and years. And just, I think it was this year or the tail end of last year, I saw an article in Voices of the Martyr that they were setting her free.
Yeah,
now, I didn't hear whether they actually did or not, but after all these years, they finally were going to set her free. So all these prayers that people have been praying, and I've prayed for years for her, and she doesn't know me from Adam, and I don't know her, but just through the Spirit, you know, and it just was laying heavy, heavy on my heart that, you know, she had to be set free. They could not kill her, and I don't believe they did, because otherwise we would have heard. They don't let you hear the good news. They just tell you the bad news. So, but I just thought that was awesome when I heard about her.
There's a doctor at Granville. Colleen and I got a chance to talk with him. When was that? Last week?
Mm-hmm.
And he was sharing his story. He's from Burma. And they've been persecuted there recently, too. And he came over. And his mother came over. She worked.
No, she worked at the embassy.
Oh, embassy, that's when they got over here, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but he was sharing his family story. And he lives up in Granville. And I kept thinking when we were listening to him, I said, gee, we should many of the churches should hear this story.
Definitely.
Well, when I was in the rehab hospital in Columbus, I met people from every African country.
Wow.
And the ones that I got to talk to, many of them said that they had come here because of the scriptures. Yeah, and I know Nigeria right now.
Oh, they don't wait around either. They just kill you right there and then.
Do you think that the countries that are persecuted a lot more, though, are the ones that the Spirit begins to move and there's lots of regeneration and more and more and more people coming to God, to Christ?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It works the exact opposite way of what Satan wants it to work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking for us to be persecuted more, but I'll tell you what, we've got it so easy that sometimes we just get into a comfort zone and think that we've got things figured out, and we don't have things figured out.
Those people know they have nothing but their faith,
right?
And that's the one thing that they hold on to, because it's the only thing in many instances that they have.
Yes.
And so they're willing to be martyred.
Yeah, because even here, if you've lost everything, there's still tons of social programs and various things that if you try, you can find help, you can get some kind of help.
But at those places you can't.
But, yeah.
No.
There's not.
You have to rely on God. That's all you
can do.
Okay, well, we kind of got off the whole baptism with Holy Spirit, but that's okay because I like discussions. Let's take a look at John 7. We got a little bit of time left. John 7. John 7:37 and 39 are the key points there, but I'm going to start at 25. It says at this point, and the point they're talking about is halfway through the Feast of Tabernacles, and if you back up and read some of the other in 7, it'll tell you that. But it says at this point, some of the people of Jerusalem begin to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he's from." Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd had put their faith in him. They said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go to our people, where our people live scattered among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
That's a little confusing.
And where are you confused?
By this he meant that whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water, which is the Holy Spirit, will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, those who believed in him were later to receive.
Yeah. Well, he's just telling everyone that if you believe in me, then you're gonna receive the Spirit. You're gonna receive
well,
the
later,
living water.
Is what the Spirit had
done. Yeah. Well, this is John.
Okay.
This is John. So this was before Acts, and this was before the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples.
John was with Jesus.
So yeah, but when Jesus is saying this, he's saying. John's the one that wrote this, and so Jesus is saying, anyone who believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within him. So he's saying, if you believe in me, right, then streams of living water, which represents the Spirit, okay? And he's saying, if you believe in me.
The only thing that bothers me where it says later to receive.
Well, that's John. Jesus is not saying that.
Oh.
Jesus' words in red, which was Jesus' words, stops at the streams. He who believes in me, as Scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Then John's words are, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive.
Okay. Well, my Bible's not in red.
Okay. Well, I can see that then. If you thought that was all part of what Jesus said, it would be like, what? So, yeah, that helps understand if you understand where Jesus quit speaking and then the rest is John.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. I love it when you stop and say things. So, like you said, the living water is referring to the Holy Spirit and flowing from in him. That's the Holy Spirit in us. Again, that's what it's talking about, the Holy Spirit within us, right? This is the baptism. Right? This is us receiving the Holy Spirit. It's a constant connection to God. Constant connection. It's not us looking and seeking and trying to find Him. It's not us jumping through hoops and doing a bunch of rituals and going through all of this routine. It's not dotting your I's and crossing your T's and making sure you're doing everything perfect. It's a constant connection with God. And that was foreign to these guys. That was foreign. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it.
Yeah.
You know? And we think we understand it today because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, next week we're talking a little bit about the veils, right? And the one for next week is talking about being veiled. And, you know, Christ can remove that veil and let us see things. But when we're talking about all these people that he was talking to here, they were still veiled. They were still very much in the dark, so to speak. And he was trying to get them to see, trying to get them to believe, trying to get them to understand, you know? Because having God living inside of you, is that not so amazing that it sounds impossible?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we have the privilege of experiencing that. We have the privilege of knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we get so used to that we take it for granted. These people here, for centuries, for generations, was working and planning and trying and hoping and jumping through all of these hoops. You know, they were going through all the rituals. They were trying to learn the 600 plus laws. They were trying to follow everything to a T, just hoping that they could be right with God. And we get to sit back and be right with God if we believe. That's incredible to me. That's amazing to me. We should never take that for granted. Right?
Absolutely not.
We shouldn't sit back.
A lot of people think that there's a formula.
Right.
But it's not.
There is no formula. There is no formula.
I do know one thing. Once you become a Christian, Satan really runs rampant.
Well, sure he does.
There he goes.
Yeah, he's going
to
try.
We need to expect that. It's not all a bowl of roses.
No. No.
No, but it becomes easier, I think.
Yes, as you grow.
As he comes after you to just know.
Yeah.
Satan.
Because we begin to recognize him.
Yes.
His tricks are the same tricks that he's used since
and
Adam
again,
and Eve. His tricks are the same thing.
Be aware.
Yeah. And we start to recognize. It's like we might fall for that trick a few times, you know. Yeah. In the beginning, mm-hmm. we're still weak and we're not really sure what we're doing. And we might fall for some of those tricks a few times. But after a while, you go, no, I know that's you. That's you. Get away from me, Satan. But yeah, he doesn't stop trying.
Oh, he doesn't.
And he just gets trickier and trickier and finds
he
different
knows
ways.
He's one of our weaknesses.
Yeah.
That's where he works.
Yeah. But having that Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Right?
He's telling you.
All right, we're running out of time here. I had Ephesians. Ephesians talks about bringing the Jews and Gentiles together as one people, basically. That's Ephesians 2:11 through 22. I don't think we have time to read it and stuff right now, but it's talking about us. He talks about bringing the two men together. He's talking about circumcised versus uncircumcised, and he's talking about how Christ brings the two together as one. And then it also says there's one Spirit, that we have access to the Father through one Spirit, through the blood of Christ, and through one Spirit, and that we all are being built into a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. And so, again, it's talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And I know that you guys all understood this before we even start talking about this, because everybody's in here is relatively seasoned or have experienced the Holy Spirit personally. And I think that's awesome and wonderful. But to me, every time I talk about having the Holy Spirit in me, it just stirs stuff up inside me. It's just like, I'm so appreciative. You know, I know who I am. I know who I am in here. And I know who I am in my heart. And I know that if everything that was from God was stripped away, I'm pretty disgusting. Right? I know that. If all the things from God were stripped away, what would be left is pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
But He changes us. He makes us into something new, and we become so different, you know. It's truly a transformation. And it's the Holy Spirit that does that. And you know, we've got to be careful that we're constantly paying attention and listening to, you know, and constantly in the Word, because there are other spirits than the Holy Spirit that wants to get our attention.
I feel you, Ron.
There are other spirits, right?
But with the Holy Spirit, you get excited,
yeah,
and you want to talk. But sometimes people don't want to hear you talk, and you can sense that. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, there's people that don't want to hear what I have to say a lot of times.
Have you ever been in a conversation where the Holy Spirit just took over and you just kept talking about the Lord and kept talking about Christ and you just kept saying all these good things?
Yes.
And this person on the other end is just going, okay, all right, yeah, I got to go.
Yes.
Quit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I could look back at my life and know that I was like that other person.
Yeah, me too.
Things.
Me too.
It was like you showed me something different.
Yeah.
That was my personality. I wanted to see a difference in your life. You said you were a Christian. So it's important for us to live it.
It is. It is, because people watch, people listen, people pay attention, and they want to see you. A lot of times people that don't know Christ, that knows that you are trying to live a Christian life, or that you're a Christian, or you claim to be a Christian, or that you're following Jesus, or whatever the case may be, they're not only watching you, but they're looking for mistakes. Right?
Hey,
they're not just looking for the good stuff. They're looking for you to screw up.
If I had a pound of dope, I'd have every friend in New York. Now that I don't have dope and I don't do dope or drink or drugs, none of those people want nothing to do with me. But I see them every day.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. But I see them every day on the streets and where I go and about and around. And no matter what, you keep trying to tell them. You guys know who I was.
Yeah.
You guys knew what I was about. Look at me now. What is so hard for you to believe that you can't be changed?
And you know what? Some of those people, they might remember that when they're feeling really, really down, and when they really think, man, this really stinks and life's not worth living.
Now, I can't get them in the vehicle to go with me to church, but if I had some dope to go get high, they'd all be in there.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
I do see what you mean, but they're in bondage right now, and they can't get out of that bondage. And
the chain needs to be broken.
Something has to come in with inside of them for them to go, I'm at bottom, I am in desperation, I need something more, something better. There's got to be something better out there. Wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. What about that stuff John says? Maybe that could be real. Something has to be different. I got to find something better, something new, something different, because this ain't working for me anymore. I'm miserable and I'm suffering. Maybe that stuff John's saying has got something to it.
It does.
And you know what? They may get to that point. And some
eventually,
of them, and some of them might not.
Some of them might choose not to.
Yeah.
What's it say? We sow.
Somebody else waters.
Somebody else waters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Plant the seed.
Thanks for calling. For this morning, I appreciate
We'll put him on our.
I don't know how to put all those words together.
We'll put him on our daily list because we pray a lot, and our list gets long. And sometimes I'm late getting to work, but but I go so early that me being late, late for me, not late that I get in trouble for.
It's just. I just have hope.
Good.
That's all.
Good. Good.
I just have hope that, I don't know.
All right. Let's close. Let's pray.
Good. Hope.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the chance and the opportunity to come together and just share, Lord, because that's how we learn, as we come together and we share back and forth. And you know, even if we look at the same scripture that we've looked at 100 times before, your scripture's alive, and it meets us where we are. And it's so wonderful, Lord, that you give us that. And we just thank you so much. And we pray, Lord, that we would, each one of us, experience you and your Holy Spirit in a wonderful, fantastic way today. That when we walk out here, Lord, into the congregation and into the service today, that your Holy Spirit would be strong and powerful and just fill this place, Lord.
Amen.
Just fill this place and bring this family together, Father. Every single one of us have a point and a purpose. Every single one of us have something that we're supposed to be doing as part of your church. We cannot be a church alone. There's not one person that's a church. Lord, we have to have two or more gathered together. We have to be a body, which each of us doing our own part. And we can only do that through your Holy Spirit, because alone we become isolated, we become selfish, and we become unable to carry out what you want us to do. But together, Father, together, you encourage us, you help us, you lift us up when we're down, and we just thank you so much. We offer this time up to you. We lift Steve up to you as he prays, as he delivers a message this morning, and Wade, and Lord, all the people that do so much in this place. And we just thank you and praise you, and we just, again, ask you to lay your hand on Rex. Just touch him, Lord. Breathe life into him and touch him, and touch him with your spirit. Connect with his. Help him to see that there is something better. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.